And we're going to look at verses 11 through 23, and we're going to see what the Lord has to say to your heart and mind today. Would you go with me in prayer? Our Father and our God, I thank you for our men and women that have served at this country, that have retired from service, the Lord, that are still in active duty today. Those that have given their life so freely, the Lord, that has died in doing service for our country. God, we salute our veterans today. God, thank you for each and every one of them. The Lord, without them, we wouldn't enjoy the freedom and the peace that we enjoy today. And neither would other countries around this world, the Lord, enjoy that, those freedoms without our veterans and our military today. And God, we pause for a minute and we thank you for them. And God, we love them. We appreciate them. And God, we want them to know that. And God, we ask you to fill this place with your presence and power, or the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. God, just give us the freedom to worship you today as we already had through the worship service, the Lord. What an amazing song, the Lord. Talking about you, Jesus, and being blessed by you. And Lord, we just thank you for filling your presence here. And God, I ask you to visit us today in a special way. The Lord, defeat the devil, bind him up, and cast him outside of here. God, he is not welcome. Let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in our hearts and lives. God, it's your word. As we open it up, your word is precious. And God, I pray the anointing of the reading of your word, that God, your word would go forward, that your word would accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you, that God, we won't be the same as what we walked in here as, that God, we'll be changed individuals, that God, we'll be hearers of your word and open our hearts and minds and our ears and apply it and be doers of your word, the Lord, that we can go out and be better stewards than what we were when we came in. God, may you bless and fill this service. God, may you anoint the reading of your word. God, hide us behind the cross of Calvary. Use us today. Fill us with your words that you desire us to say, that we can deliver the message that will be pleasing to you. God, may your message go forward and not return to you void. God, we thank you. We praise you for what you're going to do. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Awesome. We'll be in 1 John chapter 3, and we'll look at verses 11 through 23. And it says this, it says, "For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was the wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew him, because of his own works, were evil, and his brother righteous. Marvel not, my brother, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We are to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hates this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and knoweth all things." Amen. Praise the Lord. "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment." And I go on and finish 24. "And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." When I look at this and I look back, as I said, over the series we're doing, what does Jesus do for us? Jesus lives through us. As I said in Scripture's passing, that the characteristics of the Lord, the characteristics of the things that we've studied in the book and the Beatitudes and the Christian virtues and things of that nature, is evidence that Christ lives in the Christian. We should take on those characteristics and demonstrate them, as we've been studying in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 to 23. Taking on that long-suffering, that love, that meekness, that forbearing one another, and things of that nature. Those characteristics of a child of God are to be evident in us. People ought to be able to see the love of God in our life. It ought to be exuberant in us. It ought to be demonstrated in our lives. Those that are outside the will of God, those that are outside in the world, the only way they're going to see the love of God is if you and I demonstrate it to them. The only way they'll see the love of God is if you and I allow Jesus to live outside of you and me. Allow what we have on the inside to live on the outside that others can see Jesus. That we can lead them to a saving knowledge of the Lord. If you're taking notes, look at me with verse 13. Number one, it is contempt because of a new life. But be content because of a new life. Listen to me. Sometimes when we take Jesus on to be our Lord and Savior, sometimes it costs us friends that we thought that we had as friends. Sometimes they turn around and call you, oh, you're nothing but a Bible thumper. Oh, you're in church now, so now you're square. You're in a little square box. You can't have fun. Don't be smiling, Serena. You can't smile in church and laugh, Tom. Y'all just cut it out right now. Now you're having fun because you're a child of God. You can't do that no more now. You got to be a stick in the mud, and you got to be square and put in a box, right? You know, and that's what the world thinks. And that's, unfortunately, when we become a child of God, some people stereotype us, put us in that box. Oh, man, you can't have fun. You can't laugh. You can't sing. You can't enjoy life. You can't go here. You can't go there. And man, they got a misconception about what living for the Lord is all about. They got a misconception that, man, it's a life that's worth living. It's a life that you can be happy living about. And so sometimes when we take those qualities and those characteristics on, sometimes the friends abandon you. Sometimes family abandon you. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes your job might even say, hey, you need to look for something else. You need to go somewhere else. But listen, be content with who you are in Christ. Let the Lord work in your life. Be happy with who He's made you as. Be happy with what He's done in your life. Be content as a Christian of God, as a child of God, understanding that we got eternal life coming one day. Amen. Understanding what we are looking forward to one day. So be content with that. When you look back at verse 13, you see, it says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. No doubt, many of the early Christians, they were persecuted. They encountered opposition. They were ostracized. They were discriminated against, and so forth and so on. And you and I might face the same thing through life. They did, but they leave us as an example to follow. Yes, they were persecuted. Yes, they were ostracized. Yes, they faced opposition in life, but listen, they kept on keeping on. They kept on marching forward. They kept on going forward for the Lord. They lead us an example to abide by. They went through it. We see how they went through it. You see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what they did. You see Daniel. You see Stephen. And you see just a few of them, what they faced. But listen, God was with them and saw them through it. You might face those things. If you love the Lord, let me tell you something. The world will hate you. Listen to me. The world that we live in today is not the world that we knew it 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. 40 or 50 years ago. It's not the same kind of people we're dealing with today. You can go back to when the Bible was kicked out of school, and that's the generation that you and I are dealing with now that are adults, and they don't want nothing to do with the Lord. Don't want nothing to do with church. Don't want to hear about it. So you'll face those things. And the scripture says, they hated the Lord, they're going to hate you and me. Oh, listen, you're going to face those things. Those things are going to come up in life. But John says, keep your faith. John writes to them to remind them that the fellowship with God means being at odds with the spirit of this world. Fellowship with God is meaning being at odds with the spirit of this world. When you step out for the Lord and you step out in fellowship with the Lord, you are at odds with the spirit of this world. The devil is roaring lion, seeking, roaming around, seeking whom he may devour. The spirit of animosity, the spirit of bitterness and wrath is the spirit of this world. And when you're living for the Lord, you're at odds with the world. And the world's not going to come against you. And things are going to happen. But in John 15, 18 through 20, it says this. In John 15, 18 through 20, it says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And he's going to say in verse 19, he says, and if you were the world would love his own. The world's going to love those that's in the world. But because you and I, citizenship is not in this world. If you're a child of God, our citizenship is in heaven. And we're just a pilgrim trying to make it through this world until we reach our final destination. Amen. It says it loves its own. But because you are not of this world, because I've chosen you out of this world, therefore the world what? Hateth you. He goes on to say in verse 20, he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. He is saying, in fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 5, 11 through 12, he says this, he said, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He goes on to say, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed are you. You're going to face those times. Those times are going to come against you. Be content with your salvation. Don't compromise your new life in Christ. Don't compromise your stance in the Word of God. Don't compromise what God has done in your life. Just because the world might be against you. Just because, unfortunately, sometimes family might turn against you. Or friends that you thought you had. And when you step out for the Lord, they step back and say, oh, I don't want nothing to do with that. Listen. Be content with your salvation. Know where you're headed. Know what God's done in your life. Know that He's going to take care of these situations. Listen to me. Be content with your salvation. Don't let the world and don't let others influence or determine your destination when it comes to following Jesus. Don't let them deter you. Don't let them distract you. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. And what we do for Him to bring Him honor and glory. It's not about, listen, you know, I would love to make everybody happy. I really would. I would love, Serena, I would, Tom, I would love to make everybody happy. Amanda, I would love to make everybody happy. Ernie, I would love to make everybody happy. Miss Gail, I love to make them happy. Brad, I love to make them happy. But the truth of the matter is, you're not going to make everybody happy, and neither am I. And neither am I. But we're to still do the work of the Lord. Amen. We're to still go forward and not compromise what God's Word says. We're to still march forward in love, even though those might not love us. Even though they might be against us. Even though those things might come out. We're still to demonstrate the love of God. Still to demonstrate the love. The world will hate us, but it's okay. Love them anyway. Love them in Jesus. Love them in the Lord. Pray for them. Scripture says that He heaps coals of fire upon their head. Pray for them. You know, that the Lord will love them and that through His Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit of God will soften their heart, tender their heart, so that they can see the love of God. So that they can see that. Be content with your salvation. Don't let others influence you and say, oh, you're a Bible thumper. Get under your skin. Oh, why do you go to church so often? And all that. Oh, you're missing out. No, they're missing out. They're missing out on the love of God. They're missing out on the things of God. Oh, listen to me. Not only that, not only being content with our new life, but also, number two, if you take notes, the characteristics of a new life. Look back at verse 14 through 18 with me. It says this, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the what? The brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in. Y'all got weak on that. Y'all didn't want to say that, did you? Huh? But guess what? You have no choice. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Oh, listen to me. That's some strong words right there. He goes on to say, 15 through 18, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Oh, listen to me. There's six things in these six verses that point out. John points out the fundamental differences between the world and us. He points them out, the one distinctive that we should possess that makes us different from this world is love. Is love. The one thing, the characteristic that we should have that demonstrates that separates us from this world is love. The love of God, the peace of God in our hearts. John says about love, the evidence of life is love. When he goes back, listen to what verse 14 says. Verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we what? Love the brethren. That word know here in 1 John, you can look through there and read through there. 27 times in 22 verses in the book of 1 John, it mentions about know and about love. Knowing and love. And when you see the word know here, there's two different Greek words translated as know. One of them has to do with perceived knowledge. The other has to do with certain knowledge. Perceived knowledge means known by senses, felt, understood, observed, perceived knowledge. The other one is certain knowledge. It means sure, true, unquestionable fact. And I can tell you right now, when it comes to the Word of God, it is certain knowledge. It's true. It's unquestionable. It's fact when it comes to the Word of God. It's certain. You can take that check to the bank and cash it. One of those has to do, as I said, with perceived knowledge. The other is certain knowledge. The one here has to do with certain, definite, definitive, absolute knowledge about what he's talking about. John says that the evidence of life of God is in us, and that the love should flow through you and me as evidence of God in our life. Oh, listen to me. No love is no life. No love is no life. Did you read that? Did you get that? You understand what he's saying? In those verses of scripture, no love is no life. Look at verse 15. In verse 14, again, he says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in what? Death. No love, no life. He goes on to say in verse 15, whosoever hated his brother is a what? Murderer. And you know that no murderer hath what? Eternal life abiding in him. So he goes on to say, in these the evidence of God should flow through us. Verse 15 says, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You go on and see the knowledge of the love of Christ. We know what love is because Jesus demonstrated that to us. When Brad prays, oftentimes Brad prays, Lord Jesus, we love you because you loved us first. We love you because you loved us first. You demonstrated your love to us, Lord. And because that, you drew us to yourself. We love you because you first loved us. The knowledge, thanking God for the love of Christ. He tells us in Romans 5:8, and you've heard me quote it several times, but God commanded what? His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet living a life in rebellion against Christ, Christ died for us. The love of God, he commanded his love towards us when we were unlovely. When we were unlovely, he died for us. It's that kind of love, that love that Christ demonstrated for you and me. The love, my friend, when we were rebelling against Christ, when we wanted nothing to do with church, when we wanted nothing to do with Jesus, God loved us enough that he sent the Holy Spirit down to knock on the heart's door. He says, Danny, I love you. It don't matter what you've done. I love you, and I want to come in and abide with you. And you with me. It doesn't matter. And he knocked at that heart's door. And thank the Lord, Danny opened up that heart and invited him in. Invited him in. Oh, he come. It doesn't matter what Chris has ever done in his life. It doesn't matter past, future, or present. God loved him enough that he sent the Holy Spirit one day to knock on Chris's heart and said, Chris, I love you. It don't matter what you've done. If you open up your heart's door, I want to come in and abide with you, and you abide with me. He come over and he said, Brother James, it doesn't matter what you've done, and I've heard those stories. It don't matter what you've done, but I love you. I love you. And he knocked on that heart's door and said, if you would just open up and let me in, I'll come in and abide with you and you with me. Oh, and he did that with each and every child of God in here. He come and he personally knocked on your heart's door. Aren't you glad that we serve a Savior that's personal, that comes and knocks on your heart's door personally and says, if you'll open up, I'll come in. If you open up, I'll come in. I want to abide in you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad you think you are. You're not bad enough that you don't need Jesus, and you're not good enough that you don't need to let him in. Oh, he came for all, and he stands, and he knocks at the door, and he loves us. Romans 5:8, but God commanded his love towards us, that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your love. Not only that, but John 15:13. He goes on and says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. No greater love. Oh, listen, God loved us so much that he laid down his life for you and me. Ain't no man took his life. My Savior laid down his life. There wasn't enough men in this world that could hold him down, or the devil or his imps or angels or nothing else, my friend. God laid down his life. Jesus laid down his life freely and willingly for you and me. No man took his life. The Father sent the Son to sacrifice his life for you and me. Oh, listen to me. He loved us so much. Oh, when I think about the veterans today, I draw that correlation together of thinking about all the military men and women, all the veterans that are out fighting on the field right now that don't have a clue who you and I are. Don't have a clue who we are. But yet they went, and they're still serving today, have served, and have gave their life for you and me to enjoy the things we enjoy today. That's the same thing Jesus done. God sent his son Jesus into this world, my friend, to die for you and me, knowing him, knowing who we were and the sins we committed, and he still died for us. That's amazing. That's amazing. As we honor the Lord and honor our vets today, thank God for those that are out serving and have served and retired and died in the military, giving their lives for us. My friend, listen, that don't know us, but it's one thing that Jesus knew us, knew who we were, knew the sins in our life, and still says, Father, I go because I love them. God, I go because I love them, because I want to make a difference in their life, because I want them to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. I go because I love them. What an amazing love. Greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. What is John saying? Here's how we know that we have passed from death unto life, when we love one another just like Jesus loves us. And that love is put into practice and is demonstrated in your life and my life. The practice of that love is in verse 17 and 18. He says this, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That love is a sacrificial love that the Lord gave. The Lord Jesus was sacrificed, my friends. He laid down his life for you and me. He went through the trial. He went through persecution. He went through the slapping on his face. He went through somebody spitting in his face. He went through him plucking out his beard. He went through him beating him with the cat o' nine tails. He went through taking and being nailed upon a cross, my friends, and stripped of his garments and clothes, and put a crown of thorns upon his head. He gave himself sacrificially, and it was a sacrificial love that he gave for you and me. The sacrificial love that he has, my friends. And listen, in loving one another, my friends, it takes sacrifice when you're in a relationship as husband and wife and children and parents and things of that nature. It takes sacrifice to make love happen. It takes sacrifice on our parts to make a relationship work. It takes sacrifice when you're a child of God to get up on a Sunday morning when you've worked 6 days a week, 18 hours a day to be at church to serve the Lord. It takes sacrifice to come back on Sunday morning. And Sunday night. It takes sacrifice on Wednesday. It takes sacrifice to be a Christian if you're going to be anything for the Lord. It takes sacrifice to get into God's Word and to have time to read it and study it. It takes time out of what you and I want to do to get in God's Word. It takes sacrifice when you have a prayer life that you lay everything aside and spend time with the Lord in prayer. It takes giving up of something of your day to make that happen. It's sacrificial love. It took Jesus giving up all the glory in heaven to come down here and suffer hell on earth so that you and I could experience the sacrificial love that he did for us on the cross of Calvary. It takes sacrifice, my friends. When you do that, it takes sacrifice. Not only that, but we see a tangible love. We see that in James 2, in verse 15 through 16. We see it expressed. He said, if our brother, and this is a tangible part, or sister be naked and destitute and daily of food, he goes on to say, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doeth it profit? What doeth it profit? Oh, listen to me. Real love, love, sacrificial love, real love expresses itself, my friend, in sacrificial, tangible ways. Real love of God expresses itself, my friends, to others, so others can see the love of God in our lives, and the love of God is demonstrated in us, my friends. It takes that sacrifice. It takes tangible things. It takes it, and that should be evident and should be known in your life and my life. Oh, listen to me. The love of God, the characteristics of that. Not only that, but we have the confidence in a new life. When you look back at verse 19 and 22, it says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have the confidence towards God. We have the confidence towards God. And he said in verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Do you get what verse 22 says? And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. It's conditional because we what? We keep his commandments. And because what? We do the things that are pleasing in his sight. It's conditional, my friends. Experiencing that and sacrificial love, the confidence that knows us. This is the assurance of love and a light that brings assurance that we are his. Again, in verse 19, it says, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. The love of God is flowing through us, my friends, and it gives us the assurance that we belong to him. The chief characteristic of being a part of the family of God is showing love for one another. Showing love for one another. I thank God for the love, the peace, the harmony that we're experiencing at Crossroad. That's how it's supposed to be. It's the love of God being demonstrated to brothers and sisters in Christ, in you, through you, and for every one of us, my friends. Expressing that love, showing that love, and people can feel the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. They feel the love of God that radiates through you. They feel the love of Christ and see Christ in you when you demonstrate the love of God. And that's what should be in the house of God, demonstrating the love of God, expressing that. The confidence here for us, John says, because your salvation is fixed because it is dependent upon Him and it's not on you. My friend, our salvation is solely dependent upon the Lord. Oh, listen, we do these things that are pleasing in the sight. You cannot expect to receive what you ask Him of if you're not willing to walk in fellowship with others. You can't expect to receive it. John 14:13, Jesus says this. He says, "And whatsoever shall you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Those things that we ask in His name, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Notice the last part of the phrase of verse 22. Because we keep His commandments and do what is pleasing in His sight. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Oh, listen to me. God wants to bless your life. He wants to bless my life. He wants to give us what our heart's desire is. But my friend, we need to keep His commandments and we need to show forth His love and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. Oh, not only that, but the last thing in verse 23, if you're taking notes, the commandments for a new life. Look at verse 23. He says this, and this is His what? Commandment. That we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And what? Love one another. And He gave us commandment. He gave us commandment. Believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. It means to accept the truth that His name offers. And the name that Jesus stands for. It means to place all our hope for eternity in Jesus Christ. It means signifies surrendering to Jesus, to His Spirit and His presence to allow Him to work in your life, in my life. It means obeying, living out the love of Christ. If you really know Him, if you really trusted Him, then live like Him. Then live like Him. Let the love of God shine through you. Don't profess one thing and practice another. If you have really trusted Him, your actions will demonstrate it. Your actions will demonstrate it. The love of Christ. He wants to show His love in you and me. Listen to me. Christ could have demonstrated His love and had His love shown for you and me in several different ways and arenas, and He has. But God has chosen you individually and me individually for Him to be demonstrated through. He has left you and I as the child of God, as the Christian, for Him to be identified. For us to be identified as Christian, it means to be Christ-like. It means to exhibit the love that God has shown for you and me on the cross of Calvary, that we're to demonstrate that love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And my friend, if the love of God should be evident anywhere in this world, it should be real and evident in the house of God. Should be real and evident in the Christian and the child of God. That when we walk out these doors, that people can see the love of God in your life and my life. That they can see the love of God regardless of what this world says, regardless of what this world does, regardless of the stance that you take as being a child of God, the world ought not to deter you from the truth of God's Word. The world, the friends, the influences out there ought not deter you from taking a stance of being a child of God. Ought not deter you from expressing the love of Christ to brothers and sisters in Christ, family and friends, and those that are out there. Oh, listen to me. God wants to use you today. God wants to use you. God wants to use your life. What is it that is keeping you from being used from the Lord? What is it that is hindering your walk with the Lord? What is it that is hindering us from surrendering to Him? What is it that is keeping us from loving one another? What is it that is keeping the love of Jesus suppressed? Whatever it is in your life, release it and let the love of God take control of you. To live in and through you as He wants to do.